We're going to have a little bit of fashion talk coming up tonight. I am not going to take the lead on that one based solely on my choice of outfit.
Why not, Melissa?
Yeah, Melissa Etheridge with my Bermuda shorts. But ladies, we had a preseason game. We've got our first preseason game in the books. The Jaguars beat the Bucks 16-10 on Friday night. They finish it off with that Denard Robinson touchdown. Good for him. So happy to see that from him. But just a few thoughts from each one of you on what stood out to you. Lauren, let's start with you. What stood out to you from Friday night?
Well, this is going to sound extremely narcissistic, but I'm going to say that the four of us on the video boards
stood
out
to
me, and especially the fact that I towered over the three of you.
Giant Lauren.
Right, which caused me to be nicknamed Giant Lauren. But I think the fact that the 1010XL had the game, that we're the official station of the Jaguars, I heard Frank say it on y'all's show, that to me is a big deal. I've only worked for the radio station. I'm almost at my one-year anniversary, and being able to be a part of all of this is just so exciting to me. And so I got to tailgate with some fans before the game. Unfortunately, the rain put a little bit of a damper on that, but we had a great time. And so I think just being able to really see the team up close, and I think we might actually be pretty good, which is almost a scary notion. So that's what stood out to me. How about you, Donna?
You know, honestly, it's the first time that I've ever been so excited to sit in traffic. When I was coming the way of Beach Boulevard to the Hart Bridge and I hit traffic beginning right at the Atlantic exit, and I was so excited. I'm like, yes, this
people
means everybody
are going to a preseason game.
I'm so
fantastic.
And then we get, you know, we're sitting there stuck on the bridge. I'm like, no worries, because I can see the board clear as day.
That is nice. Such a good
fine
point
by me,
because you really can see those boards, especially from the Hart Bridge. I mean, that picture is crystal clear. It is unbelievable. Blythe, you've been to so many Jaguar games. I mean, you're a huge Jags fan. What stood out to you from that first preseason game?
It definitely had to do with just being back in the atmosphere. You get to visit your football family. You get to see the people that you only see a few times a year. That was really the off the field. What was a great thing to experience again. But on the field, I think the defense looked incredible. Outside of Bortles, the defense really stepped it up a notch. It's been a lot of rumors over the offseason that they've been shining pretty good. So it was good to see that in action.
I completely agree. The defense has really struggled, especially in recent years, putting pressure on the quarterback, getting to the quarterback, being able to stop the run. And it looks like guys like Chris Clemens and new additions like that are really going to be able to make a difference for the team this year. And good point on Bortles. I mean, he was playing against the Bucks' second team defense, but still, the one thing you want to see from Bortles is that he's going to show up in a game situation. I mean, sure, you want to see him practice well, but what matters is when they put those pads on, take the field, and what that end result is on any given Sunday. And Bortles looks like he could potentially be the guy to lead this team to success in the future. But you had an interesting week last week because you got to host a Jaguars fashion show. Is that correct?
Yeah. Jacksonville has had an area fashion show for a few years, and it's all encompassing of just overall designers. But this is the first year that we actually had a Jaguars specific fashion show where designers were invited from all over, and they were able to showcase not only just clothing, but purses, accessories. And the purses was one of the biggest draws at the show because there's a wonderful designer. She's local, Sanisha Designs. What she does is she takes old jerseys, old shirts that you don't wear anymore, and she turns them into backpacks, into purses, just anything that you can think of, she can sew it into just being able to reuse that old jersey, I think is something that's very beneficial to the fans on the first
place. And I think that's going to benefit women more than the guy that I saw at a game last year who took his David Garrard jersey and took duct tape and turned it into a Gabbert jersey. I wonder if that guy still has... Exactly. But you also had an interesting item at Friday night's game called the Johnny Bag. What is all that about?
Yeah, it's essentially last year in the NFL, for those that don't know, that they changed their rules on the bags that you're allowed to bring to the stadium. If you want to bring in a bag, it essentially cannot be any larger than the size of your hand unless it's a clear bag. And the problem with a lot of clear bags is that they're flimsy, they're cheap, you can't
Everyone
really...
Everyone can see all of your stuff.
Yeah, that too. But with this Johnny bag, what this girl did, she's based out of Ohio, she sewed this pattern that goes around the bag itself, and it has a zipper on the side. And so when you're going through security, security. You take the zippered part off. You have a regular clear purse. You walk through security, and you put it right back on. The fabric is reversible. She's working on, you know, doing team colors and that kind of thing, but it's very affordable. I think it's about $25 for the bag itself, but it's been a lifesaver, and it's lasted all throughout last season and first preseason game, so we'll see.
And they're not paying us, by the way, but it is.
Yeah, no, I know. We're like, we're promoting all of these items.
You know what? If they want to drop any of them off at the stadium for us to try out, we're totally fine with that. But, Donna, I mean, let's be honest. We're going to the game, and yes, we're watching the game. We're watching the product on the field. We are legitimate football fans. But come on. The ladies like to look good for the game.
They do. And I, for the first time, I actually was worried about, well, what am I going to wear? And it wasn't really because of, I thought we were going to be on the big board. I wasn't for sure. But, going to the first preseason game at this stadium, all renovated, I was like, really excited. I'm like, well, now I think I got to look kind of good. So what am I going to wear? And I searched, actually went down to Daytona.
Donna
and
always found looks myself good, a good,
I found myself what I thought was a nice little good Jag shirt. But I was like, why? I had to go to Daytona to get it. But I shopped anywhere. I don't care.
Yeah, for me, it was more of a concern that I was going to be on video boards larger than
life.
Yeah. But no.
Giant Lauren.
Giant Lauren. Well, for me, doing the tailgating thing first, I had to actually plan two changes of clothes, which for everyone who knows me, I'm not that girly. So that takes a lot of time out of my day to figure out what I'm going to wear twice. But I think for the most part, there's so many teal options out there and Jaguar print stuff that I walk around the stadium just like we were at the pool cabanas Friday night. And I look up and I constantly say, I like that. I like those teal shorts. So there's a lot of good options. The problem was, because we were kind of planning to be on the video boards, we all wore teal. And then when Jessica and I went down on the field, we were on the Buccaneers side for a little bit and we got some dirty looks. So I did have to take off my Jaguars hat.
Dirty looks. Leave totally it on. They're in your place. You
that's
give them
true.
The dirty.
You're that's in my true. House now. Yeah, but see, that's the thing is, you know, I thought about what I wanted to wear that night, and yes, I considered being, you know, the fact that we were going to be on the big boards, but it's so hot right now, and Blythe, I think a lot of girls probably at this point are planning their outfit around the weather.
Pretty much, that's the number one tip whenever you're going to go plan your outfit is just to check the weather first, always prepare for rain. If you're looking for a nice outfit, I'd go to Forever 21. There's lots of local boutiques, Bell Boulevard, the Pink Nickel. There's tons of places around town that you can find a good, affordable outfit that's also cheap because a lot of those NFL shirts, they run $40 to $50, and I don't know that many people that can afford that kind of T-shirt price every single game.
Yeah, that is expensive. And you can always just stick with a color theme. It doesn't right. even have to necessarily be a logo. I mean, we're kind of lucky with the Jaguars. They have colors that you could wear, you know, in life in general and not just have to stick them specifically for a Jaguar game.
Unlike the Florida Gators, where that orange and royal blue really doesn't
translate. Yeah, you're not really pulling that off in other walks of life. I mean, you're going to want to keep your orange and blue, and even garnet and gold specifically for a football game.
Exactly.
But you had a chance, Lauren, you mentioned you were at tailgates beforehand. I think that was what was so fun about Friday night. You know, the scrimmage, the team is just playing against themselves. You're seeing our offense go against our defense. But you really had the opportunity, I think, for the first time on Friday to get into the feel of an actual tailgate for a game where you knew you were taking on another opponent.
Right. Unfortunately, the weather did prevent the tailgating from starting when we had all planned for it to start. But that certainly did not stop people. And so I went up to a tailgate and I got to do, you know, the live radio thing with them. And they were all pretty excited. And I asked them how many people had season tickets and they told me how many people. And then when it came to the time of the live radio portion, I said, all right, how many people here have season tickets? And to one of the gentlemen, and he kind of froze and he said, one, Kevin. So if he's listening out there, womp. It's okay. Next time I see you, I'll give you another chance to prove yourself on the live radio. But it was great. They gave me bacon-wrapped dates with almonds and cream cheese. They were cooking potatoes with asparagus. Oh, no, sorry, green beans and Gouda cheese in them. They had all sorts of cocktails. It was a great tailgate. So they got a lot of free stuff out of it, and it was awesome.
What's the first thing that you look for at a tailgate?
Boiled peanuts.
Donna, what about you? I know that you were like on top of that. I'm not sure if I know yet,
right? I wasn't really part of the whole college tailgating because I know that is so extreme and everybody has their list of everything with that one. But being from the north, I would have to say something seafood. So crab legs on the grill.
I'm going to go beer, cold beer. That's the first thing I'm looking for at a tailgate. And then I'm looking for food.
Yeah, I totally agree. I love if there's going to be maybe like a ping pong table set up or any type of
for
game.
For beer pong or actual ping pong?
Maybe.
Starting the question.
I'm beer okay pong, with either. Yeah, cornhole's the best. I mean, that just makes you think of tailgating. But it's just, it's so fun to be back into the feel of things, back into knowing that you can get down here early for games and you can really start to get into the feel of a season. I think for so long, you know, we've been waiting for this year to kick off. We've been waiting for this year to get underway, and now it is finally here, and I think everyone is excited about it.
The way I say it is life has meaning again. You go through non-football season and you wake up Saturdays and you think to yourself, what am I going to do? I don't have anything to watch. I mean, even if you're a baseball fan, it just doesn't have the same feeling.
Well, the withdrawals are over because we are back to football. Hey, one player that I think is actually in a good position to have a good year is tight end Mercedes Lewis. With the Jaguars drafting a couple of receivers in that second round, hopefully with a healthy Cecil Shorts, a legitimate running attack, I think the Jaguars are really going to have a variety of weapons on offense. They're really going to be able to spread the field as far as the passing game and get more guys involved. And I think a guy like tight end Mercedes Lewis is really going to have a solid season. We had a chance to catch up with Mercedes Lewis. He broke down his position group for us. And by the way, have you ever wondered how Mercedes got his name? We are going to have the answer to that question for you. Mercedes Lewis coming up next. You are listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels. We are coming live at you from Everbank Field. I'm Jessica Blaylock, joined by Lauren Brooks, Donna Murphy, and Blythe Brumlieb. Okay, when it comes to the offense in the NFL, it's pretty basic, right? The quarterback either hands off or throws the ball. The running back runs the ball. Wide receivers catch the ball. But what about the tight end position? Have you ever had any questions about tight ends? Well, luckily, I was able to catch up with Mercedes Lewis and nail down that position group. Here is what he had to say.
Now, Football 101 with Jessica Blaylock on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Tight end Mercedes Lewis to help us understand that position. Mercedes, basic question, what are the responsibilities of a tight end?
The responsibilities of a tight end. A lot of people call us a joker of all trades because we have to be able to do everything on offense. Whether it be, you know, running routes like receivers or blocking like linemen, coming out the backfield like running backs and fullbacks. To play tight end, you have to be pretty smart.
How can you spot a tight end on the field?
Normally, if you're a tight end like me, you can do it all. You can either be in a slot, you can be on the end of the line of scrimmage, but it's kind of like a mixture of a wide receiver and a lineman. Normally, I'm matched up with linebackers. If I'm in a slot, normally I'm matched up with defensive backs. It's normally the bigger guy that looks like a receiver, but not as quick as the receivers.
Outside of an offensive or a defensive lineman, a tight end is usually one of the bigger guys on the team. Why is that important?
You know, for me, it's important, and especially in our offense, to be able to block and be able to hold our own and hold the point. And what I mean by hold the point, setting the edge and not getting blown back. You know, I take pride in that part of my game and being able to run block. But you can't be a little guy if you're trying to hold your own at the end of the line of scrimmage.
You mentioned lining up against either a linebacker or a defensive back. When you're lining up against a defensive back, is it a corner or a safety?
It can be either or. It just depends on their coverages, what they want to do, what they feel their matchup is. It really doesn't matter, you know, who it is. If they feel like the safety is a better matchup for the tight end, they'll put a safety. If they feel like that tight end has really good routes and is really quick, then they'll put a corner on that tight end. So it varies.
When the Jaguars are passing the ball, you may be on the receiving end. What do you do when the Jaguars are running the ball?
Normally when we run the ball, our zone is predicated on basically what the tight end can do. and how good he is at, you know, being able to hold the point. So I guess it just all depends on the offensive scheme and, you know, what kind of confidence they have in that tight end.
What play call is a tight end's dream come true?
I have a few. I mean, it just depends on what part of the field we're in. I like when we get down on the goal line and we throw a fade to me when I'm, like, split out because I know it's, you know, it's one-on-one, and I'll take myself one-on-one any day.
And just explain to our listeners real quick, what is a fade?
A fade route is basically when you have a defender in your face and you're split out wide, you threaten this technique, meaning run towards him and then fade out, meaning, like, after you run towards him, you kind of fade out and let the ball take you where it's going to take you.
Why does a tight end go in motion?
Tight end can go in motion for many different reasons. It just depends on if it's going to be a run play and they want you to set the point, like I was talking about, going to that run side, or if you're going to do a pass play out of that same look and you make it look as if you're going to set the point and then release it into the field. So normally just to change strength and create mismatch problems.
What's the most important thing that people should know about the tight end position?
The most important thing that people should know about the tight end position is that if you have a good one, it makes the offense run smoother.
And finally, who do you think are some of the best tight ends throughout the NFL?
Oh my gosh. I've always looked up to Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez. I respect Gronkowski's game. Jimmy Graham is doing his thing. I like tight ends for different reasons, and when I'm watching film, I just try to take a little piece out of everybody's game and add it to mine. So if I have to say off the top of my head, those are the guys.
That's a pretty solid list right there. All right, thanks so much, Mercedes.
You got it. Appreciate it.
All right, so just to review a couple things that we learned about the tight end position. Similar to last week when we talked to Paul Posluszny about linebackers, a linebacker on the defensive side of the ball is kind of a hybrid position because that guy is going to be able to work in both run coverage and pass coverage. Whereas on the offensive side, a tight end is essentially a hybrid position because you want a tight end to not only be able to catch the ball, but you want him to be able to block if you're running the ball. So he's running routes, but he's also really integral into blocking for the offense. You want your tight ends to be a big athletic guy, again, because he's got those blocking responsibilities. And if he's got a one-on-one matchup, like you heard Mercedes mention, Mercedes is the kind of guy who can really take advantage of that because he's a big, strong, physical guy. They can line up with linebackers. They can line up against defensive backs. It just depends on what the offensive scheme is that they're going with. And like you heard Mercedes also mention, what's the most important quality in a good tight end? What's the most important thing to know? If you have a good tight end, that is going to make the offense run just so much more smoothly. So hopefully you guys learned a little bit something about the tight end. But Lauren, I want to learn something a little bit about Mercedes Lewis off the field. You had a chance to catch up with him in the locker room earlier today. What stood out to you about that interview?
Well, one of my favorite things was I would ask Mercedes a question, and then he would kind of say, oh, I've got a story for you.
He was full of stories today.
So I love that I don't even really have to pry, and Mercedes just kind of opened up. So not only are you going to learn a couple things about him, you're going to learn a lot about him because I think it's a little bit of a lengthy interview.
All right, well, here is Lauren Brooks with Jaguars tight end Mercedes Lewis.
Hi, Mercedes. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. We're here in the locker room, and we are going to talk to you about some stuff off the field so everyone can get to know you a little better. First question, we had to ask Paul Posluszny. Now we're going to ask you, do you take selfies?
Yeah, I do, but I don't have an Instagram, so they just sit in my phone.
That's okay. So at some point, once you get an Instagram, then the whole world will get to see all of your selfies.
Yeah, no, I don't plan on getting an Instagram. I keep it just on Twitter. I got a couple on there, but they're not self-incriminating selfies. So.
Well, I think this is a good time to tell everyone what your Twitter handle is.
It's at MercedesLewis89.
Perfect. So y'all can check those selfies out. All right, you have a story behind your first name. Will you share that with us?
My mom had me at 15 years old, and she liked the name Mercedes, and originally she thought I was a chick before she knew, and she loved the name, so she just kept the name, and instead of spelling the M-E-R, she put an A in there to make it a little more masculine, and it turned out to be the best thing ever because I'm the only Mercedes out there, so it turned out to be a good decision.
How close are you with your family?
My family is all I have, and, you know, they support me regardless of whether I'm doing good or bad, and, you know, they keep it real with me, so throughout the years. They've always kept me grounded, and, you know, I wouldn't be where I am today without them.
That's awesome. All right, you flew to California and back in 24 hours for your sister's graduation. What I want to know, though, is what did you get her as a present?
Well, she graduated on a Wednesday, I think it was, and it was in the middle of OTAs, and I flew back to L.A. She didn't even know I was coming home, and so I surprised her. She had tears in her eyes and stuff like that, and the biggest present she could have gotten is me walking with her to get her diploma. So, I mean, she's gotten little stuff here and there from me, but every day is her birthday when it comes to me taking care of my sister.
That's a beautiful story. I love it. All right, you have a beautiful daughter. What is her favorite thing to do with her daddy?
Her favorite thing to do with me is probably wrestling. She loves, like, climbing on me, and she loves me for me to hold her and dance with her. She always grabs my hands and says, "Daddy, let's dance. I want to dance with you." Or if I'm laying down on the bed, she'll hop on my back and be like, "Daddy, let's take a picture." So she loves, like, that time with me. Our quality time is the best time.
What kind of music do you guys dance to?
Anything from R&B to house music. She already knows how to fist pump. She's a true daddy's girl.
I love it. That's awesome. All right, what's the most challenging part of being a parent?
The most challenging part for being a parent, obviously, every situation is kind of different. Mine is a unique situation because of the situation I'm in, and her mother lives in Northern California, and I live in Southern California when I'm back at home. So just working out the logistics of when I'm going to have my daughter and, you know, vice versa.
So in addition to playing with her, you also do a lot of work in the off season to keep in shape. Can you tell us about your off season routine?
My off season routine consists of a bunch of stuff that's going to challenge my body in different ways. So when I come back here, I'm not stiff. You know, I always want to do things that are going to have me in different positions so my body can get used to those different positions. So that way, when I get back to Jacksonville, I'm hungry to play football. So, I mean, I have anything from hip-hop dancing to swimming to mixed martial arts. I mean, I'm all over the place, really.
What's your favorite stroke?
Just freestyle. I'm not really good at the other ones yet. I got a story for you, though. One time, the swim team was at UCLA when I went up there. And you know how they have the pools with the jets shooting out? Well, it's at the highest capacity that it can go, and they're hopping in there, and they're, like, backstroking in there. And you can barely, as a normal person, you can barely stand in that water. So that's when I knew right then and there that, like, I could never compete in a swimming pool.
That's okay. At least you do it, though. It's low impact. You know, it's good for you. Exactly. Do you take yoga?
It's a long story. I took yoga for, like, 3 years in a row when I was in college, so from my sophomore year until I left, and then I got out of college and then kind of lost it, and then this off season I got back into high yoga. So it's cool, but once you get past the easy stuff, like, it's tough. I mean, you know, being 6'6", 268 pounds, it's tough to be in them positions, but I do what I can.
Do you have a strict diet?
Yeah, well, during the season I do for sure. I have a chef that comes and makes sure I don't go overboard. In the off season, I normally diet from Monday through Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday I just live it up. You know, I just turned 30, so I'm clearly not getting younger, and I have to continue to make smart choices if I want to continue to play this game at the highest level. So I'm definitely aware of what I eat.
So you've done some movie critiquing in your past, but I want to ask you about Robin Williams. How did you feel when you found out the news?
It was tough. I mean, obviously, I don't know him personally or, you know, was close with him or anything, but to know he was going through that stuff and being able to, like, act and do work, like, that's tough. You know, you think everything is so peaches and cream when you watch it on a big screen, and then you always have to realize that, you know, these people have real lives, you know, and it's not always as good as it looks on TV. So I guess the lesson there is take every day like it could be your last, and, you know, and live and be happy, because you never know when it could be your day.
All right, we received a question from a listener about fantasy football, and I wanted to pick your brain. She has been told not to draft a tight end in the early rounds. What would your advice to her be?
I don't really play fantasy football. Obviously, you know, there are some teams that are pass heavy. Some teams, you know, if you're looking at different tendencies, you can kind of figure out who you can draft that way. But, you know, who knows? I mean, I'm not a big fantasy guy.
Well, thanks for the insight. We appreciate it. This is a fun one. What really gets said in a huddle?
What really gets said in a huddle, besides the play, depending on what happened to play before, either tighten up and get your S together, or, you know, keep it up. Forget about the last play. The next play is the most important play.
Perfect. All right, and you've been in the league for 9 years. What's the funniest thing you've seen happen?
Oh, my gosh. It's been a lot, but I would probably have to say my first couple years here, it was to the max. And I'm talking about guys that take people's keys and their phones and then put them in water, freeze them, wrap them up in tape, put lotion on the cars and all type of stuff. So I'm just glad that I was one of the cool cats and never had to be a part of any of that.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Mercedes. I think all of Jacksonville got to know you just a little bit better.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I learned that guys say, get your S together in the huddle. That's what I learned from Mercedes. Donna, what about you?
I learned about positions. I learned about strokes. I learned about a lot of things.
Oh, we broke it down.
Oh, that was great.
I have to tell you, Donna, especially since you have a son, when I asked him about his daughter, all I had to say was, and you have a beautiful daughter. And I tell you, the entire face, his entire face changed. I mean, he just lit up and immediately started giggling about her. And it was just, it was so adorable. I wish I'd been able to capture that moment. But between holding the microphone and listening to the ping pong, I just
trying to avoid getting hit.
Yeah,
I have been hit multiple times in the locker room with ping pong balls. Once, hit on my head during an interview, and you know what? Didn't flinch once.
Nice,
true professional. But yeah, but I love Mercedes.
So you have that indentation on your
forehead? Yeah, right here. Thank you for noticing. I think Mercedes is great because he is really one of those players that it's very easy to get to know him. I mean, like I said, I've covered this team for 5 years, and there are certain guys that stand out to you in the locker room that they're just easy to talk to, easy to get along with, very cooperative. And Mercedes Lewis has always been that kind of guy. So we definitely appreciate your interview with him and getting to know Mercedes Lewis just a little bit better. And we also appreciate him breaking down that tight end position. Not as much mention in there about strokes. That was more a personal interview, but either way.
Hey, you know what? I learned that Mercedes can actually handle hot yoga. And I knew that he had done some yoga, but I didn't know he could do hot yoga. To me, there's nothing more impressive than that. And like you said, he's 6'6", 268 pounds.
We'll I would to, love to we'll be in the same him. Yoga class
yeah.
as Mercedes.
Exactly. Where do you go?
So 1 week we'll go with Michaela Bradley.
Exactly.
And then the next week,
exactly what
yoga.
I was thinking.
That is true. All right. When we do return, we're going to switch things up. Johnny Manziel, would you or wouldn't you? We'll explain next. You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Master, I don't think you quite realize what you've got here. So why don't you just ruminate whilst I illuminate the possibilities? Well, Alibaba had them 40 thieves. Sherry's already had 1,000 tales. But Master, you in luck, cause up your sleeves, you got a brand of magic never fails. You got the power in your corner now. It's heavy ammunition in your camp. You got the punch, pizzazz! Your blue and house, see, all you gotta do is rub that lamp. And I'll say, Mr. Alonzo, what will your pleasure be? Let me take your order, jot it down. You ain't never had a friend like me. Is your restaurant.
Oh boy, normally this song makes me so happy, but today it just makes me so sad. Obviously, the tragic passing of Robin Williams. What an incredibly talented stand-up comedian, actor, ad-libber. I mean, everything. Donna, he was... Oh.
You know,
it's
funny,
awful.
You can go to, you know, the Mrs. Doubtfire, the Good Will Hunting, and everything like that, but when I heard of it, my first thought went to Hook, because I would watch that nonstop. I would watch Hook. And then to this, because little insight and secret into my life, when I was little and I used to dance all the time, I would record myself dancing to all of the Disney movies nonstop.
That's awesome.
Didn't you eventually end up doing that exact thing?
Well, Sesame Street, but
so
yeah,
close.
But I would have, and I remember dancing to Aladdin and dancing to Robin Williams.
Can we get some
crazy.
Of those tapes, please?
Yeah, are
I
those
have
still
no
in existence?
You know, it's funny because I would record playing sportscaster and everything like that, newscaster and soap operas.
If you can bring those in, I'll bring the tapes where I would record songs from the radio and sing along with them. I'm sure I can
deal.
Track some of those down.
It is a deal. If I can find them, I'd love to find them.
Oh, shenanigans, shenanigans. All right, well, when I think of the word shenanigans right now, the first thing that comes to my mind
yes.
is Browns quarterback. Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel. What to say about Johnny Manziel? Well, first, you know, recently in the news because of his, I'm going to guess, so-called girlfriend. you know, tweeted out a picture of herself kissing the TV when he was on it, and he tweeted back, "Mine." So, we'll go back to the beginning of our show, when Blythe was lovely telling us about the fashion and Johnny Bags. And so now my new nickname, because I can't say what I want to say on air, I'm calling Johnny Football Johnny Bag. That is my nickname for him.
I think that is fantastic. I absolutely love that. And I think we should start something new. But it's crazy to see kind of how this evolution of Johnny Manziel has taken place. I mean, he really burst onto the scene at Texas A&M. I think he was one of the most exciting quarterbacks that we had possibly seen in college since Michael Vick of Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. I mean, just a similar style, the plays he was able to make out of nothing. And, you know, everyone in America kind of fell in love with him. He was Johnny Football. And then as things progress and he starts to, you know, tweet out pictures of playing golf at Pebble Beach and tweet out sitting courtside at NBA games. And look, I've got no problem with that. If you have the means to do that, that's fine. I can handle that. But just all of the stories that have come out lately, you know, the way that he handled Kevin Sumlin when he returned from his suspension, the way that, you know, I don't know, he was just so disrespectful. Yes. And now it's like, okay, he's gone from Johnny Football to Johnny Bag.
Well, that, you know, so that leads us to this question. Would you or wouldn't you? You know the man, you know what he is out, you know, in the football universe. So would you or would you want to date Johnny Manziel?
I absolutely would not want to date Johnny Manziel. I think that he's a little bit full of himself, and by a little bit, I mean a lot. I don't think that he takes his job seriously, and, you know, our general manager, Steve Griffin, kind of asked me this question the other day, and I answered him with a resounding no, and he said, once I gave him a few reasons, I said, I don't think he's motivated enough. You know, I think that he does a lot of stuff in the off season that I would never do as a professional football player. Well, Steve looked at me and said, well, Lauren, I didn't ask if you were going to marry him. I just asked if you were going to date him. And so, I mean, that's a whole nother discussion, whether or not girls date to marry or right, just to date to have fun. But either way, no matter which way it's going to go, I'm not interested in Johnny Manziel, which I know crushes him. And right now he's listening somewhere crying, even though he does have a girlfriend. But yeah, for me, the answer is no. How about you, Blythe?
10 years ago, probably. Now, not so much. It's just a whole package kind of thing. The off-the-field troubles, it really bothers me a lot. I think you should just stay focused on football. You only have so many years to play football, and then it's done. And then you can party however much you want to. But I think the thing with Johnny Manziel, in addition to that, is that he has to surround himself with more intelligent people that will look out for him as well. Whenever there's pictures being tweeted of him out drinking, it looks bad. And you just don't hear that about other guys, other quarterbacks in the league that have been drafted in the first round. And he's got to take that into retrospective.
Jess?
In college? Absolutely, I would have wanted to have dated Johnny Manziel. Are you kidding me? He was,
baller.
You know, the stud quarterback of Texas A&M. I mean, everyone loved him. He's won a Heisman. Of course I would have wanted to have dated Johnny Manziel in college, but now that I've matured a little bit and grown up a little bit, the one thing that I have no patience for is people who make really bad decisions, but stupid bad decisions. I mean, tweeting out a picture of a rolled up dollar bill when we know that the connotation of that is, you know, drug use. I cannot handle the way that Johnny Manziel is handling himself when he's been given such an incredible opportunity. I mean, he has basically been handed his future with doors wide open to every possible luxury in life. And, you know, if he's not careful, all of the stuff that he does off the field, I think, is eventually going to catch up to him. And I think that's just pure stupidity. Now, you know, apparently, while he was still in school, he was doing things not to quite the same extent, but I think he was still kind of being himself and living a little bit of a luxurious and crazy lifestyle. And look, it never really showed on the field. I mean, he handled himself on the field like a professional at all times. He was fun to watch in his preseason debut. And you know, he's an electrifying guy. I think people want to be around him. I think people want to watch him play. I personally don't think his style of play is going to translate to the NFL. I mean, if you watched him in that preseason game for Cleveland, I felt like he was still trying to run a Texas A&M offense, and I just don't think that's going to work. But I don't know. I just think, for me, it's a pass. In fact, I actually have a piece of advice for Johnny Manziel on how to avoid getting in trouble.
Let's hear it.
Do what I do, Johnny. When Publix has buy one, get one free ice cream, go and get it. Take a pint home, sit on the couch with the intention of only having one serving. End up eating the entire thing in one sitting, and then later on that night, feel too fat to go out with your friends. Then you'll just be on the couch all night, watching TV, hanging out with your dogs, and you'll stay out of trouble. Trust me, that's how I've stayed out of trouble for the last 10 years.
He also might gain a little bit of weight and not be able to play quarterback.
He'll work it off. He'll be fine.
He might not be able to scramble. I think the one word I would use to describe him is entitled. And that's the one thing. I would never date someone who's entitled. I want to date someone who has the right head on their shoulders and wants to be a leader and provider and protector if we're getting down to business. And again, I know the question wasn't, would you marry him? But to me, it's all wrapped up in there. So I think it's a resounding no from everyone in here, which agrees with me. No, we're not
dating. I
think so.
And feel free to tweet us. We want to know from you, hey, what do you think about Johnny Manziel? Would you be interested in a guy like that? Who knows? I'm sure we'll get some interesting tweets on that.
At Helmets and Heels, by the way, we did finally create
yes.
an actual Twitter handle so you can get a hold of any of us at Helmets and Heels.
But Cleveland had to have known what they were getting into.
You know, they're all just a bunch of idiots. I'm just going to say it. You know
stages.
What you're going to get into, and you see the problem that he is. So why act surprised when he does the same crap in the NFL?
All right, we're shutting it down.
Johnny
we're done
Bags.
With Johnny Manziel.
I'm done with Johnny Bags.
Johnny Bags.
He's done.
But you had another interesting
I
question
did.
For
this
us,
this was
Seema.
An adorable story. It happened Sunday night for soccer, surprisingly. How about that?
I know you were watching it live.
Clearly, on the edge of my seat. But Seattle and Houston and Clint Dempsey. At the end of the game, it went final. He went over, grabbed some popcorn from a little kid and while his mom was sitting there and traded his jersey that he just played in. For some more popcorn. Now, after the game, after they got home, his mom tweeted out, you know,
a giant thank you, because
yeah,
he just took his shirt off in front of her.
She said, huge thanks to at Clint Dempsey tonight for giving my son his game jersey. Hug the sweaty thing all the way home.
Now, was she talking about the kid or her? Again,
I'm
not sure.
I'm going to go with the jersey. I think the mom is more excited. So it made me think, what one item would you want from any athlete?
Well, right here in our hometown, Josh Scobie has an Aston Martin, and I really need a new car, so I'm
going to
go.
And why not go with,
with
the
an
height
Aston
of
Martin.
Luxury?
Exactly. Josh, I'm sure you're listening, because I know you do listen to 1010 XL all day long. So if you'd like to donate that to the Lauren Needs a New Car Fund, feel free to donate the Aston
just drop
Martin.
Off your keys at 9090 Hogan Road.
Or actually, right now, we're at Everbank Field. So just walk down the hall, drop the keys, and I'll say thank you for the rest of my life every day.
Blythe?
I think I'm going to go with one thing from an athlete. I think either the General Lee that Bubba Watson owns or the ball that Scobie kicked to win against the Colts, the 59-yarder a few years back. I think it's 2010.
Scobie's getting a lot of love on Helmets and Heels.
So, Scobie, you hear this, hook it up.
You know what? I want to go with either
a drum roll.
Yes, that's how big this announcement is. It needs a drum roll.
She can do that. She has a drum set.
That is true. I think, boy, this is so Boston-centric. I think I'm going to go with either Brad Marchand's Stanley Cup jersey from a few years ago, since I can't technically keep the Stanley Cup forever.
Details.
Or I'd like to go with maybe one of the baseballs that David Ortiz slammed from the World Series this past year. I mean, he had so many amazing plays. I don't know. I think it'd be very cool to have a piece of memorabilia from some type of championship winning series or game. So I think I would probably go with something like that. Donna, you got to be proud of me.
I'm very proud of you, and I'm right there with you, actually. I'm going to go an item from either the NHL or an item from the baseball. So if I did go hockey, I would have to say Zdeno Chara's stick. The
yes.
hockey stick.
Because it's not regulation. Interesting fact, it's not
clarify.
A regulation hockey stick.
No.
It has to be approved by the NHL because he's so ridiculous.
He is
tall.
A behemoth, and I would just like to see exactly how tall the hockey stick is. So baseball, I would love to have Jason Varitek's glove when he got into a fight with A-Rod.
Oh, that is a good one
so
as well.
Something that
you know
punched
what?
His face.
I'll drive y'all around with your little gifts from the athletes in my brand new car.
All right, when we do return, we're all going to head out. We're all going to head out to the parking lot and take a spin in Lauren's new car. You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL 92.5 FM.